This week's Shiurim have been sponsored by Family Groshman, Leilu Nishmas, Reb Chaim Yosef Ben Yisachar Dov, Zichrono Levracha. Yud Aleph Menachemov, Monday the 30th of July, Rabbi Yoel Rabinovitz, Korach HaTzibur.
Thereafter, whole day of Tisha B'Av, one of the things which amazed me when I was a kid one day was, after the whole day, you know, you have something to eat, and about 11:30 at night, as a young boy, I hear my father say, "Right, come sit down and learn. I haven't learnt anything all day." And it struck me as one of these things which it should be very obvious, but after a whole day switched off, and having fasted, and then having eaten, it's actually very difficult to switch back on. Giving the shiur for start the day of Torah away on Motzei Tisha B'Av is one way of switching you back on very rapidly. The pasuk in Vayeschanan says like this: "Vayitzaper Hashem bi lemanchem loishona elai vayim Hashem elai rabloch al toisef tabei elai oit batav azeh." Hashem became angry with me. Moshe Rabbeinu explains how Vayeschanan had done so many hundreds and hundreds of tefillas. And then the Kodesh Baruch Hu became angry with me, "Lemanchem, lo shama elai," wouldn't listen to me, "vayim Hashem elai rav loch al toisef tabei elai oit batav azeh." That's enough. Don't speak to me anymore, batav azeh. So, "Vayisaber Hashem bi lemanchem." Hashem became angry with me, "lemanchem," because of you, for your sake, because of you, as a result of you. We have in Devarim a pasuk which mirrors this, which but it's not quite the same. Pasuk in Perek Aleph, pasuk Amzayim, says, "Gambir sanat Hashem biglalchem leimoi gamatol lo tovoi shom." Also with me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu became angry, biglalchem. Leimoi, gamata, saying, "You also will not come there." So we have this pasuk, "Vayisaber Hashem bi lemanchem," mirrored in Devarim with, "Gambi yisanat Hashem biglalchem." Now, it's not a repetition. If it was a repetition for any reason, it would say the same words. It doesn't. "Yisanat Hashem biglalchem, vayisaber Hashem bi lemanchem" is different. And the Ran explains like this. The Ran explains that actually this maybe encapsulates the difference between Parshas Devarim and Parshas Vayeschanan. You see, we all know that the beginning of Sefer Devarim, Rashi tells us already, is Moshe Rabbeinu's Musa to Klal Yisrael before he departed, before he died. But there's a difference in approach between Devarim and Vayeschanan, says the Ran. Difference is like this. If you want to tell someone off, you can do it in two ways. You can start off by saying, "You know what you did? How dare you do such a thing? It's a disgraceful thing to do. You should be ashamed of yourself for doing such a thing." Tell them off. You point out what they did is absolutely unacceptable. It's something which is shame and disgrace for the person and for the family, and then you tell them off. That's Musa. That's Teichacha. That's Musa through Teichacha. If you want to give Musa to someone, you can give it another way as well. You can explain how important, how chashuv they are. The gadlus that they have, their potential. And through that you can achieve the same thing, but in a different way. When a person realizes who they are, what they are, then they look at their actions and they say, "It's incompatible. I can't behave like that when I am who I am." Moshe Rabbeinu starts with one approach, and then he moves on to the other approach, which we learn from, which we can see that so it's a way for us to also learn how to give Teichacha. You do sometimes have to give it the hard way, but at the same time, you can't just really leave it there. You can't take someone and tell them off, and make it clear to them what you think of them, and then leave it at that. You've got to then actually, then you've got to build them up as well. You've got to make it clear, yeah, you've done the wrong thing, and it's a disgrace. Look who you are. Look what potential you have. Look at the mice and toivim you've done in the past, and build them up like that, and then say, and therefore, you can't behave like that. That's not for you. So that's these two psukim. First pasuk in Devarim says like this: Gabi sanat Hashem biklalchem. Because of you, you caused for me that the Kodesh Baruch Hu became angry. You caused it. It was your fault. Without going in at this stage too much to how they caused it, but that's Gampi Yisanaf Hashem Biklalchem. Vayisabah Hashem Bilemanchem is a different thing. And we'll come to that in a few minutes' time. Vayisabah Hashem Bilemanchem is the other thing, the gadlus of Klal Yisrael. So let's take a very, very brief look at what was actually the chait of Moshe Rabbeinu, because this is all talking about Mei Meriva. And what was the chait of Mei Meriva? If you want to get a good range, not the full range, but a good range of explanations for this, you can look at the Arachaim in Chukas, I think it is. Arachaim gives 10 different explanations for it. You've got, of course, people like that. Barbanel talk at length of this. It is something which takes up an enormous amount of space amongst the Mefarshim to explain the chet of Moshe Rabbeinu Mei Meriva, and it isn't poshut at all. But we'll just pick three or four as samples. You've got Rashi, of course. Rashi says the chet was very simple. He hit the rock. He should have spoken to the rock. Ramban turns around and says, what? He was meant to speak to the rock. Hashem Yisrael says, take the stick and speak to the rock. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu says, take the stick and speak to the rock, it means take the stick and speak to the rock in rock language. Rock language is, you hit it. That's the point of taking the stick. That's what the Ramban argues with him. Another explanation given is, the Rambam's explanation. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu became angry. Moshe Rabbeinu became angry. Klal Yisrael were convinced that it is inconceivable that Moshe Rabbeinu would be Bekas, unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Bekas. They understood who Moshe Rabbeinu was. Not that Moshe Rabbeinu had an easy time. Moshe Rabbeinu had, talking in our terminology, he had a miserable time when he was leader. They're constantly at him. But despite the fact that they were constantly at him, they were fully aware of who he is. They were well aware. And if Moshe Rabbeinu became angry with them, it can only be, in their opinion, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry. Moshe Rabbeinu simply reflects what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, is feeling. And it wasn't true. Do not find here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry in any way with Klal Yisrael. And because he gave them the wrong perception, it was Chilul Hashem. That was a Chilul Hashem. That's how the Rambam explains it. Ramban says, Moshe Rabbeinu's fault here was a bit like the fault of the Malachim in Sodom, which probably fits with our understanding of Moshe Rabbeinu. If he makes a mistake, it's a mistake on the level of the mistake a Malach can make. Hamin ha-sala ha-zen o-tzilochem mayim, we will bring out water for you from this rock. What Hamin Hazen Mosilachem Mayim means is a whole extra explanation. But suffice it to say, they use the words Noitzi instead of Yoitzi. We will bring out instead of he will bring out. Which suggested that somehow it was dependent on Moshe Rabbeinu rather than purely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was the Chet. The Ran, who based it, most of what I'm saying today is based on, the Ran gives a different explanation. And he actually explains very similar to Rashi. But he gets around the problems. The problem on Rashi is, Rashi said, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, take the stick and speak to the rock. So Rashi says, oh, and hit the rock. So they ask on Rashi, yeah, if it says take the sick and speak to the rock, it means speak rock language. So the Ran says no. Ran gives a moshel of a child in school. Child in cheder. Child goes to cheder, and the child starts messing around. Child messes around. Plays up. The Rebbe warns him, warns him, warns him. Finally, the Rebbe takes the stick. He says, hold out your hand. Good old-fashioned way. He gives him a couple of pech. Child goes back to his seat, and he's pretty quiet after that. He goes back to his seat, he's pretty quiet. A couple of weeks later, the kid forgets, and he starts playing up again. The Rebbe says, Yankele, you're playing up again? He says, Yankele, you see the stick? Sees the stick, he knows what the stick means. Knows what the stick means, behaves. Doesn't need to be hit again. Only needs to be hit once. It's a clever kid, he understands, needs to be hit once, that's it. Says the Ran, it's only a moshel, and obviously the nimshel needs a lot of explanation, but we'll just do it nice and short. Says the Ran, at Masel Meriva, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, 40 years earlier, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, take the stick and hit the rock. Moshe Rabbeinu took the stick and hit it with a rock. And out came water. Now, after Miriam and Avia was nifta, the rock stopped giving water. Says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take the stick and speak to the rock. Don't need to hit the rock this time. Just show the rock the stick. The nimshel needs a lot of explanation because he says that the rock was now muhsha, was prepared for giving water, and he explains that the lotion to bringing out water, and it will give its water before we talk about the rock will bring out water because it's not natural for it. This time round, he talks about Hashem Yisbach says to Moshe, and it will give its water because it is its water ready, because it's muhsha, it's already prepared for giving out water. So all in terms of the marshal and nimshel, all you need is the stick. You see the stick, the rock will see the stick, and the rock, and you can talk to the rock. You don't need to hit the rock. That's the marshal and the nimshel of the Ran. So, let's move on now from there to what we have here in Vayeskan. Vayisaber Hashem bi lemanchem. Vayisaber Hashem bi lemanchem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu grew angry with me, lemanchem, for your sakes. This is the other aspect. We said the aspect in Devarim was to do with Klal Yisrael caused Moshe Rabbeinu to sin, and that's what he was blaming them for. That's what he was telling them what for. Now he's saying, this isn't about the chet itself. This is about my pleading with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive me for the chet. And essentially, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have forgiven me. It wasn't the worst thing. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu had done, Rashi says it wasn't the worst thing. And yet, Vayisaber Hashem bi lemanchem, for your sakes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was misaber bi. He grew angry with me, and he refused me mechila. Why? So, the reason here is not the etzem chet, but the phrase he used, shimu na hamoyim. Listen now, rebels. Says the Ran. That is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't forgive Moshe Rabbeinu. The chet itself he could forgive him for. Not the end of the world. But the phrase, shimu na hamoyim, that not. Why? Because that was pegeya in the kavod of Klal Yisrael. You see, a chet ben adam lemakom, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is very prepared to forgive. It can be pretty bad, and a person can receive kapara for it easily. You sin against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you come back to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you say, I'm sorry for it. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, come back. Welcome back. Finished. All over. But when it involves others, ubifrat b'miuchad, when it's a tzibur, Hashem Yisbach says, oh, but wait a minute, wait a minute. I don't mind. Personally, I'm prepared to forgive you.
But you said things about the tzibur. You belittled in some way the tzibur. I should forgive you for the covet of the tzibur. That not. So here we have Moshe Rabbeinu saying to them, look how important you are. Look how wonderful you are. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his own covet will forgive me. But your covet is so important as Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not prepared to forgive me. Talking about the tzibur, let's understand that this tzibur, this Klal Yisrael, weren't on the madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, what was the peak? The highest point in the ruchnius of Klal Yisrael. Where they reached the highest possible madrega. I think everyone would probably agree. Matan Torah. I mean, where do you get more than that? Hashama on koila lekim etabem toicheish bayechi. Never happened before or since such a thing. And yet the Ram points out, the Pasuk says like this, Hini ba'i lecha b'ava onon, b'avo yishma'a on b'tapi imach, b'gam b'choya min loylam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, I'm going to come to you ba'ava onon, I'm coming to you in a thick cloud, so that the people will hear when I speak with you, and they'll believe in you forever. Says the Ram, an incredible thing. And he explains it with a mashal. We'll take this mashal, maybe use also another mashal. He used a couple. You've got the sun. The sun, a massive body, producing incredible amounts of heat and energy. Incredible amounts of heat and energy. Now we know that if you would take someone up in a spaceship and put him a few million miles away from the sun, they'd burn up, they'd shrivel up in an instant. So how do we cope with the rays of the sun? Just first start, 93 million miles from the sun to here. It goes through space, and then it hits the various levels of the atmosphere. And as it hits the various levels of the atmosphere, it becomes, the rays of the sun become filtered, and they weaken until they reach us. The Kosh Baruch has designed it that it's perfect. When it reaches us, we can survive those rays, and they are health-giving at that stage. Of course, a person does have to be careful, because overexposure to the sun, maybe something which is worth talking about this time of the year, if we actually get any, we've got a bit today, but that's probably expensive, because probably our sort of ration for the entire summer. But anyway, if we get any sun, just bear in mind it can be dangerous, overexposure to the sun, because everything is measured by Ribbono Shel Olam exactly. And therefore, you're out and about in the sun, that's fine. If a person is overexposed to the sun, it's already dangerous. It's so delicate, it's worked out exactly. So the sun, we can benefit from the rays of the sun, but that's only after it's gone through various different stages. A modern model of that would also be electricity. When electricity is produced, it's produced at a voltage which, I'm sure we've got people here who could tell you a lot better than I can, but a voltage which is measured in kilovolts. It's not measured in volts, it's measured in different measurement, kilovolts. It's enormous. The power going through those lines is absolutely phenomenal. They do it in that way because you lose a lot less as it's going through the lines like that. That's fine. If you tried to use that in your house, you switched on your kettle straight from that, you'd blow the whole place up. So how do we manage to use it? It goes through various substations and transformers until they reduce it until you get down to 240 volts in England, and then your machinery can use it. Your household implements. I'm sure there's factories which can use it at much higher voltage as well, depending on how the equipment is is set up, whether it can sustain and it can utilize electricity at a higher voltage or at a lower voltage. But for us, in our houses, it's got to go through all those transformers, then it's fantastic, it's wonderful, it's incredible. But otherwise, you blow the place apart. So, when Klal Yisrael was standing at Har Sinai, and they're going to hear the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's just impossible. It's like, the sun, being next to the sun, is just a moshav hetiot for it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hinni boi lecho bav anon, I'm coming through an av he'anon, meaning I'm going to use various emtsoim, various mediums before the sound, before the nevuah reaches Klal Yisrael, so that they will be able to access it. I know you don't need it, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, I know you don't need it. And I'm, so to speak, apologizing. The Madrega which Klal Yisrael reached at Matan Torah was a letdown for Moshe Rabbeinu. It was way down on his normal level. His normal level was and here suddenly, so the difference between the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu on an average standard day and our Madrega at Matan Torah was vast. Yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, not to Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is the Koyach HaTzibur. This is the power of a tzibur. And the Ran gives a moshul to explain this. A lovely moshul. So it's like this. Imagine you've got a Rosh Hashiva who is a Gon Otzum. He's the God Lador. In a league of his own. He has Kol HaToyah Kula at his fingertips. He understands all the Yud Gimel Mitzvos V'Shatoyah Nidroshes by him. And he's got to transmit this to his Talmidim. He has a choice. He can take one or two top Talmidim, Iloyim, and teach them. Or he can give shir to several hundred Bochrim, younger light. Fine, good younger light. Not Iloyim like those, but good, standard, fine younger light. Which one's better? What's the better option? Says the Ran, the second option is better. Says, why? Because however brilliant these couple of Talmidim are, there is no way they are going to be collate everything that the Rebbe has to give. His knowledge is so vast, so enormous, that there's no chance of them being collate it all, being absorbing it all. But when you've got several hundred Talmidim, even if they're not the same level, every person, and this is good to know, every person has special tchunas, special ability, special points in which he's strong. Even an average person sitting and learning, there'll be points which he picks up very well, which tune in exactly to his way of thinking. And when you've got hundreds of people, each one with picking up this point, picking up that point, picking up the other point, between them, they can pick up much, much more. And that is how the Ran explains that the tzibur, the 600,000 of Klal Yisrael, were roy to receive the Torah more even than Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, we're talking about the tzibur. So there's a tremendous, as we see, there's a tremendous koyach in the tzibur and tremendous kedusha in the tzibur. We learn the Mishnah in this week's Perek. It was Gimel on Shabbos, but we didn't say it, right? Because of Tisha B'Av. So it's this week's Perek. We learn about how do you know if there's Asar Shiyosh Mish B'Neim Tivei Toi Shechina Shrei B'Neim, and then it's Chamisha and Shloisha and Shnaim and Manayin Afilu Echad. So wait a minute. If there's the Shechina Shrei on one, what do you mean Manayin Asar? And anyway, we learn elsewhere that the Shechina is only Shrei on 22,000, where it says Shuv Hashem Rivoi Salfei Yisrael. The point is like this. There's obviously an enormous difference. The Shekhinah will be there, to some extent, even with one person sitting and learning. But it's not the same as two. It's completely different. And again, it's completely different if there's 10. And if there's 22,000. Which, by the way, is probably a good reason to go tonight to the Siyum HaShas, even if, like some of us, you don't necessarily learn Daf Yomi. But that's a mamad where there's going to be thousands of people there, solely many of them having delayed their summer holidays because they want to attend the Siyum HaShas. What more of a Kiddush Hashem could there be than that? And when you have thousands of people there for that reason, then there's a level of Shechina there which is not going to be there under normal circumstances with thousands of people there. So that's the koyach of a tzibur. Now, the minimum number on which the tzibur is great enough, the koyach of the tzibur is great enough, that Dvoim Shepikdusha can be said, is 10. That's a minion. That's the critical mass. At that point, we move on to another Madrega, another level of Kedusha, and therefore Dvoim Shepikdusha can be said. And I want to point out something just very, very briefly in terms of Halacha. That there are, you know, even if a person, as Mishapur says, doesn't necessarily always manage to catch a minion. When he does catch a minion, he has to be very aware of the strength, the koyach of the tzibur, and therefore the need to daven with the tzibur. Because a Shemona Esrei, which is said together with 10 people, is a totally different Shemona Esrei, different level. Kodesh Baruch Hu accepts it in a different way. So if a person, and unfortunately you see too many people walk into to shul, and they do their own thing. They do their own thing. They're sometimes not even very far away from catching tefillah b'tzibur, but don't seem to make any effort at all to. Now, there is, of course, al pi Kabbalah, that you need to go kaseda. You need to go Kaseda, and it's very, very important, al pi Kabbalah, to go Kaseda, not to skip anything. But Mishapura points out, or from Behetov points out from earlier ones, that that's not at the expense of Tefillah B'Tzibur. And if someone really, really is keen on davening everything Kaseda, then either be on time, or go find another minion. You came, you were 10 minutes late, and you want to go through Karbonos properly, etc. Wonderful, good, but go find another minion. Reb Shimon Zalman, I saw it brought down, Reb Shimon Zalman said that if you've got a choice between skipping the bits which you should skip and davening with your minion Kavua, and one done with your minion Kavua, or going somewhere else and being able to do all Kaseda, you can stay with your minion Kavua. There's a very big mile in being with your minion Kavua as well. But to stay there, and just to ignore the tzibur is not on. And just very, very briefly to go through a few of the points. If you come to shul and they're pretty far on already, basically the minimum you should try to do is brachas, bav shama, ashrei, haluka, halua sashem nashmaim, haluka, halkevkodshoi, yishtabach, and then join the tzibur. You can skip even more than that if necessary, so as to be with the tzibur for Shemona Esrei. If necessary, don't say brachas, say birchas haTorah. Best off if you can also say l'kain neshama. Leave out the brachas, say brachas later. Go straight to Baruch Shama and Ashrei and Yishtabach. That is a minimum and it's very difficult otherwise. And then join on with the tzibur for Yotzai. Catch them up. Especially if you know maybe they go a little bit slow, you've got time to catch them up. If you've got a bit more time, then you say extra bits. On Shabbos, it's extremely important to also include Nishmas. After Ish Asher Yishev Secho, Nishmas comes first. But otherwise on Shabbos, just bear in mind that all the extras that we say on Shabbos come after the normal Psukei Tezimra. If you've only got time to say the Psukei Tezimra of Chol by leaving out the extras that we say for Shabbos, the extras we say for Shabbos come afterwards, unless it's Nishmas, which we say takes priority over everything else except for Ashrei. Thank you very much.